Okay, good morning.
Welcome back to the weekly Sfas Emes here. We are continuing with the Sfas Emes on Parshas Nitzavim. And we have a few interesting ones here. I've put at least five. Yeah, I put five on the sheet. We'll probably get to two or three. But all of them are worth looking at. So if you take the sheet home and you have a chance to look it over Shabbos, I think it'll be worthwhile for you. The Pasuk in the beginning of our Parsha tells us, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, this mitzvah, what mitzvah is it referring to? That's machlokes the mafarshim. All the commentators dispute this. Rashi, the Ramban, the later commentators, the Netziv gathers a few of them. It's a question whether it's talking about the whole Torah, keeping all the mitzvahs, ki mitzvah hazos, it's kind of funny in the singular. Or maybe it's talking about the mitzvah of tshuva, which is very contextually that makes sense, right? That's what's going on in these psukim, where Hashiot alavecha, and Meshavta Hashem alakecha. That's why I read this parsha right now. Maybe it's talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A lot of different options. Rashi, at least in some places, seems to say that this is talking about the mitzvah of learning Torah. We're going to assume that for now. Okay, mitzvah zos, this mitzvah of learning Torah, again, it's applicable to tshuva as well, we're going to say. Asher anochi mitzavcha yom, that which I'm commanding you today, lo nifleis himcha. It's not too wondrous, it's not too far off, not too far removed from you. Velo rechokehi, it's not distant from you, it's not too far away. It's very accessible. Lo vashamayim hi, it's not in the sky. Lo mevar yaliyam hi, it's not across the ocean. Ki karov elecha adavar ma'od. This davar, this mitzvah, is very, very close to you. It's very nearby, very, very accessible. So the Mepharshim asked, and it says, spell this out more clearly, what is this? This pasuk doesn't reach straight. The way you would talk to someone, if you wanted to tell them it's not this, it's that, so you would say, that's not white, that's off-white. Or you'd say, that's not light blue, that's dark blue. You could dispute, it looks like it's one thing, but really it's another thing. But you can't tell me, no, it's not in the sky, it's in your hand. It's not very, very, very far away, it's right next to you. What do you mean? How do you confuse those two? How does a person have a havamina? They think initially that something is inaccessible, and then it turns out, no, it's actually really easy to access. That's not a regular flow in logic in the psukim. So then the Mepharshim, I'll talk about this. The Sfas Emes is clearly bothered by the same question. Again, we spoke about this in the past. The Sfas Emes doesn't always tell us what his question is, but that's clearly the question that's bothering the Sfas Emes over here. So says the Sfas Emes, source number one, the second part over here, the Sfas Emes, Adoni Avi Zikni, that's the Chedush HaRim, his grandfather, the Chedush HaRim, who raised him. Adoni Avi Zikni Higid, Al Pasuk Lo Vashamayim Hilemor. Ki Lemisha Rotze V'chol Libo Le'Zdavik V'Torah. Someone who wants, with all of his heart, with all of his desire, with all his passion, that he should cling to the Torah, that he should have Dveikas B'Torah, that he should understand Torah deeply. If someone really, really wants that, such a person that Rashi tells us about in his commentary over here, Rashi says if it wasn't Shemayim, it wouldn't change anything. If the Torah was in the sky, you would have to go and get it. If you have such a person who would mamish climb to the Shemayim to grab the Torah and bring it down because it desires it so badly, for such a person, a love hikarov be'emes. For him, the Torah is taka very close. It's very, very accessible, very near to him. No matter what, if you put in toil, if you put in effort, miskarev, something becomes more easy to attain. Until it's so close that it's in hand, and you can't even imagine that it felt far away at any point. Without trying, without toiling, without working on it, that's when it seems far away. Says this last time, it's an amazing shot in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Lo bashamayimi, v'lo me'ever liyam, it's not in the sky, it's not across the ocean. We said, okay, it's not so far away. So what, it's a little far away? No, it's right in your hands, mamish. Those are so far apart. What do you mean? You have a havamina, it's across the ocean, and the maskana is that's in your hands? Says the Sfas Emes, yeah. If a person looks at Torah without trying, without putting any effort in, they see a vast yam ha-Torah that's inconquerable. You look at the shelves behind you, and this isn't even the base medrash room, and you think, I can't possibly read all those books. It's me'evar yam. It's bashamayim. But if a person puts in a little bit of effort and then a lot more effort, and he puts it in and he puts in the time and the hours and he toils over and he sweats over Torah, then it's not just that he'll be able to conquer the things that are difficult, it will become easier. It will become kikaro belecha adavar ma'od. The second we jump into the Yama Torah and we start to swim, we learn really quickly. We pick up those tools and we're able to cover ground and we're able to gain the ideas and we're able to come closer to the Torah, we just have to put in that effort. And that's probably what the Gemara and Megillah here you have in the bottom of source number one. You have the Gemara and Megillah on Bava and Beis means when it says, if a person tells you, Gati v'lo matzasi al tamin, if he tried really hard to learn and he didn't succeed, don't believe him. Lo ya gati matzasi, I didn't try and I did succeed in Torah, al tamin, don't believe him. Yagati umatzasi. If he tells you, no, I worked really, really hard. I learned day and night. I really mamash schwitzed over Torah. Matzasi, and I was matzliach. I was successful in learning. Tam, and you could believe such a person. He's telling the truth. Such a funny lashon, no? The Gemara says yagati. He tried really hard. Umatzasi. It should say yagati v'itzlachti. I tried and I succeeded. Yagati v'lamadati. I tried and I learned. What's yagati umatzasi? You ever hear anyone say, I spent all day looking outside for a few dollar bills on the floor? And Baruch Hashem, in LA maybe you have some people like that, but we usually, our friends, they're not spending all day walking the streets looking for a metziah. A metziah happens, right? You just happen upon a lost object. In a case where you get to keep it, it's a windfall. You don't say, I spent the whole day looking through my pockets to see if I accidentally left a $100 bill in there at some point. No. But one day you wake up and, oh, I found a $100 bill in my pocket. So what does it mean you got... When you're a kolel guy, you get tea in your pockets. You don't get $100 bills, but
it's expensive.
Earl Grey tea is, that's chashuv. Yeah, private chashuv. Collection. Yeah. It's not stam. That's for you. Enjoy that over Shabbos, Asher.
Thank you.
So, what's your gati umatzasi? What does that mean? I tried, and I found the metziah. That's what the Gemara means. Is that ultimately a person works and works and works, but it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because naturally, you look at it and it's bashamayim, or a person thinks it's bashamayim. It feels like it's me'ever yam. If you try and try and try, it didn't come closer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamtzia to you. It becomes a metziah. That's what the Mesilas Yesharim says is true about Kedusha also. The very, very end of Mesilas Yesharim, the part that no one gets to, the very end of Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal writes that the avoda of Kedusha, of attaining holiness, is tchilasu avoda v'sofa gmul. Tchilasu yegia v'sofa matana. That's the lashon the Mesilas Yesharim says. Meaning, a person works and works and works, and then he doesn't succeed. It's gifted to him. It's given over to him. Lo me'ev al yamhi, v'lo b'shamayimhi. It may feel very far away, but if you're yageya, if you try and you toil and you work on Torah, then it'll be a mitziah. And it'll be karav elecha adav ma'od. Not naturally, but that's what will happen. It's true about tshuva. It's true about all of Yiddishkeit. It's true about everything you do. Isn't it? You put in your effort, you put in your time, you try your hardest, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a mitziah, gives you a matana. Yeah. The second svasemas over here is just interesting. Briefly, he says, "Hanestaros l'Hashem elokeinu ba'niglas lanu l'vaneinu ad olam." So the pasuk says that those things that are private, those are only for Hashem, and those things that are public, those things that are more revealed, more on their face. So that's lanu l'vaneinu ad olam. That's for all of us. So what's the pasuk? Kind of cryptic. What's it mean over here? We'll talk about a different shot later if we get to it. But the svasema says interesting. He says, "Hanestaros l'Hashem shelo limshol cheshek v'ratzon pnimi rak l'Hashem izbarach." All of your inner kochos, all of your passions, desires, feelings, emotions, all of those kochos, don't direct them anywhere other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your motivation, your motive should always be for Avodas Hashem. Afshe b'niglos ha'ivarim, muchrachim lasos gam yani olam hazeh. You're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're worrying about the mitzvos. You're trying to do... Okay, you're always thinking and learning. Ultimately, you have to go to work. And you have to eat. And you have to, I don't know, exercise. Or you have to do things that involve physical actions. Hanistaros, says the Sfas HaEmes, Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu. Everything inside of you should always be oriented and calibrated towards Avodas Hashem. And by the way, that's true about what you do physically also. Everything you do, we spoke about this a few weeks ago in Kiseitse, everything you do is supposed to be oriented towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, towards Avodas Hashem. Hanestaros, all of your inner feelings and thoughts, LaHashem Elokeinu, that should all be directed to Hashem. V'haniglos, all of the revealed actions, all of the physical things you do in this world, Lanu L'vaneinu Adolam, that you're doing for yourself, that you're doing for your physicality. So a person has to make sure to retain that pnimius, mikol makom pnimius li l'shem Hashem. Everything should be directed l'shem Shemayim. Says this Vasem is amazing though. The al yedei zeh, if you do that, if you think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even when it's haniglos lanu l'vaneinu ad olam, even when you're doing those physical actions, the al yedei zeh, if you follow that procedure, eino nifrad gam b'maisa gashmi. Even your physical actions, even the things you have to do to stay alive, to enjoy your life, to be physical in this world, even those things will become part of your Avodas Hashem. Even those things will be directed towards Avodas Hashem and therefore become part of your Avodas Hashem and will be turned into an action, L'Shem Shemayim, al yedei, the fact that you were thinking, b'pnimius hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. Says Vasem, that's the reason why the end of the pasuk says, hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, la'niglos lano v'anino adolam, lasos, as called Divrei HaTorah Azos. The word lasos here, to do, means that you're going to turn everything you do into Torah. Lasos, as called Divrei HaTorah Azos, that everything you do will ultimately be Torah and mitzvos, because if a person has the right motivations and the right thought process and the right kavana when he's doing even his physical acts, then ultimately it'll lead to him being able to turn even those physical acts into Avodas Hashem, into something that's L'Shem Shemayim. Again, that's the other half of what we were talking about in Parshas Kiseitse, that a person has to find a way to direct all of his physicality towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So here too, even things that are rishus, we said then, even things that are optional, can become mitzvos. Here you see that all the physical actions, as long as you have the right kavanas, as long as you're thinking, this is not kavanas like kavanas Arizal, this means that I'm doing this for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately everything is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we'll see a shift in our lives. If we have that mentality, we will see a shift in our lives towards seeing even the physical actions as part of our Avodas Hashem. In source number 3, you have another pasuk, interesting, the pasuk in Parshas Sub, and says, La'avrecha b'bris Hashem l'kecha. I'm going to translate the way we would want to translate it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pass you through this covenant. He's going to bring you into this covenant. But the word la'avrecha is a strange, grammatically it's a strange word, right? La'avrecha doesn't mean that someone passes you through. That would be la'avircha, or that. Yeah, that would be a different word. But la'avircha, a different form of the word. To pass you through. I forget, I don't remember. Like a transitive verb? How do you say? When you do it to someone else. La'ahifil. Nobody here went to college? No, the pshat is you don't learn anything in college. That's the pshat. That's the only point I'm trying to make here. Right? Language arts. Isn't that what college is supposed to be about? Language arts? Whatever. I didn't get anything. Not language, not arts. Okay. Liberal arts. Liberalism you get a little bit. Okay. La'avrecha b'bris. So what does la'avrecha b'bris really mean? What does la'avrecha b'bris really mean? So Rashi says it doesn't mean what it sounds. I mean, it doesn't mean what we want it to mean. It means what it sounds like. La'avrecha li'yoscha over b'bris. Not that anyone's going to pass you through. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not passing you through. That would be la'avircha. No. La'avricha, that you will be passing through. So it's like a, it's just a state of being of passing through the bris, the covenant. The Sifsei Chacham here points out what Rashi was bothered by. You can look at that in your own time. If you look at this Vasemes, he says a beautiful word over here. He says, okay, Rashi explains la'avricha doesn't mean la'avircha. It means la'avricha, that you will be passing through in your own state. It says this Vasemes, but who gufei kasha in the bowl over here? That itself is problematic. The Havle Limer La'avircha. What? Why is Rashi saying, oh no, La'avircha doesn't mean that Hashem passes through. It means you will be passing through. Shkoyach, so why didn't the pasuk say La'avircha? It doesn't mean we're going to be passing through. It means Hashem's going to pass us through, doesn't it? So that's what Hashem says, no, it doesn't. It means you will be passed through. What does that mean, you will be passed through? Listen to this. This is amazing. Achamevukash lihios bris hazeh. The desire, the goal of the Torah of Hashem is that this bris, this covenant, davak b'metzias chias ha'adam, it should be so entrenched and ingrained in the chias ha'adam, in your life force, shelo yitzdarich lavo lezeh, that you won't need to come to it aydei spilus, through any sort of inspiration, through any sort of outside motivation, any external factor. V'zeh liyoscha over. It'll just be an easy, passive state. If a person has a life which the goals and the meaning of life, and everything that his life is about, is always about the bris of Hashem, then he doesn't need to be passed through. He doesn't need to go to a motivational speech. He doesn't need to hear amazing music that he doesn't need to be turned on to spirituality. His switch is always on. La'avrecha b'bris Hashem l'kecha means, I don't want la'avrecha b'bris Hashem l'kecha. Can I get a powerful speaker to come and motivate you to have one day of good avodas Hashem? Probably we could find someone who could do that. Can I inspire you with a Rosh Hashanah davening that's going to be beautiful and turn you on to the spirit? Yeah, we could probably figure all that out. That's la'avrecha. That's me pushing you through the bris. Says Hashem, I don't want to push you. I don't want to drag you into our covenant. I want la'avrecha. I want that to be li'yoscha over b'bris. On your own. On your own volition, with your own internal motivation, I want you to be in a state of being in the bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And says this Vasemis, the hakol, how does a person accomplish that? Hakol ba al yidei yiras shamayim. The way to attain that is that a person constantly is in a state of yiras shamayim. He fears the Ribono Shalom. He recognizes the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in his life. He's cognizant of that presence. Ki ma adam omei b'yiras Hashem. If a person truly stands with yiras shamayim, he lives in a state of yiras shamayim, the nitzav hu lefanav, and he stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything in his life, the mela zocha l'kabel abris. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. Kikar v'lecha adav mod. It's going to be easy to mekabel the bris. Because if he lives in a state of yiras shamayim, there's nothing else. It's just always in a state of being, I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm in that relationship. I'm in that covenant. La'avrecha. Not that he needs to hear a speech. No, la'avrecha. That's my state. Li'yoscha over. I'm a person who's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a person who's in a state of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the page 2 here, the Beis HaLevi, it's not the exact same Yisod, but it's a good extension of what the Sfasemis is saying over there. Beis HaLevi quotes the famous question. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Yisrael, Saras HaDibros, the Pasuk tells us, Lo Sachmod. You're not allowed to be jealous. You're not allowed to desire your friend's possessions, your friend's wife, your friend's, the things that he has. So the famous question is, how do you give me a mitzvah not to desire something? How do you give me a mitzvah not to feel something? What do you mean? I wake up and I feel a certain way. My feelings aren't, I don't really have full control over my feelings. It's a visceral reaction. It's a knee-jerk reaction. So how does the Torah tell you, don't feel jealous? How could that be? The Torah can't command you on feelings. So Ibn Ezra gives an answer. The Beis Halevi says it's a very nice answer, but he has a different one, a better one. He says like this, even without Ibn Ezra, you could say like this. Imagine a mashal, says the Beis Halevi. Imagine a mashal. A guy sees something he desires more than anything in the whole world. I don't know. He sees a piece of treif of meat that he's been thinking about his entire life. It's finally there. It's across an icy river in the winter. You guys know what ice is in LA? Okay. But there's a river that's frozen. In New York, the rivers freeze over every winter. You know that.
What's winter, though?
Right. Right. Exactly. It's those months in between. Spring and spring. So there's a frozen river. Frozen river. And he sees on the other side of that frozen river exactly what he's been desiring his whole life. And he starts to run. And he realizes it's not a frozen river, but it's holding up. And then as he's running, he's halfway across the river and he hears a crack. And he sees the river is splitting. And across, it's splitting more. And behind him, he could save himself. What does he do in that moment? Obviously, he saves his life. He runs back. Right, but what happened to that taiva? No? Wasn't he like, he would do anything to get that piece of meat. What happened? The second a person feels fear, feels yira, taiva disappears. There's no more desires. A person doesn't want a piece of meat when he's going to lose his life by falling through the river. Says the Beis Halevi, the answer to the question of how can the Torah tell you not to desire something, not to have jealousy, I can't command you on feelings. Yeah, if a person has enough yiras shemayim, if a person really believes in the mitzias of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the cracking ice anytime he's stepping towards an avera, then it's not just that he won't do the avera, the taiva will disappear. The desire will go away. If a person realizes when the Torah tells you, lo safmod, it told you, and if you're chomei, if you have that jealousy, you're going to fall through that crack in the ice. Whoa. If a person realizes sufficiently how scary, how frightening that really is, he doesn't desire his friend's possessions anymore. He doesn't have those feelings. He can certainly control his feelings. They just slip away. They go away. Says the Beis Halevi, and again, this is the extension from the Sas Emes, if a person lives with Yiras Shemayim, first of all, you always feel that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, l'avrecha b'bris. You're in a constant state of bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And additionally, practically speaking, if a person's in a constant state of a bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how does he do averus? So the Beis Halevi explains, how do you do averus? How does he... They write in the... Rav David Soloveitchik, who, again, this was the Beis Halevi, we were just quoting Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who was the original Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. He was the father of Rav Chaim, the grandfather of the Briska Rav, and the great-grandfather of the Rav of Soloveitchik from YU, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik also. So the Beis Halevi's grandson, the Briska Rav, had a bunch of children. One of them was Rav David Soloveitchik, who passed away a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. So they write in the biography, they publish a biography about around the yard site. Beautiful biography, very, very good read. So they wrote in there that someone once said to him that they don't think he gets credit for not doing averus, Reb David. Why not? He didn't do averus. He said, you have so much yiras shemayim that, like, how could you do averus? So the answer is obviously, well, he gets credit for his yiras shemayim. Okay, fine. But the point that they were trying to say is that you live with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. So, of course you don't do averus. Not so impressive. If I lived with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of me, I also wouldn't do averus. But you have this elevated level of yiras shemayim, of course you can avoid averus. Either way, says the Beis Halevi, that's the way, that's the trick. That's the kunz. And that's what we're davening for on Rosh Hashanah. V'chein, tein pachtecha, Hashem elokeinu, al kol ma'asecha. We ask for yiras shemayim. V'imasecha, al kol ma'ashebrasa, v'yira'ucha kol ma'asim. Why are we begging for yiras shemayim? Because we realize, if we realize, when we say the tefillos, we realize that when a person has yiras shemayim, and when the whole world should have yiras shemayim, then all of the averos slip away. Then it'll be a state of la'avrecha v'bris. It'll be a constant state of being in a covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We won't need external motivating factors. We won't need punishments. We won't need inspiration. We'll just be constantly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're constantly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we feel that yiras shemayim, we feel Hashem's presence in our lives, then we'll do more mitzvahs. We'll avoid more averos. It'll be a path to tshuva and a path to being mesakin ourselves. And ultimately, it'll be a path to realizing the ultimate bris with B.S. Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehar V'yameinu, Amen, Shkayach. And everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.